Needed prayer this morning. It's been quite a manic morning with everything going on. You know, sometimes you feel more filled with the Spirit, some days less. And this is one of the less days. After that storm last night, how was that, eh? Okay, let's just open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, and what an oasis of truth in a world that's so completely confused. And Lord, we want to thank you that we can just open up, we can learn from you, we can listen to things that are true, things that are right, things that are holy, Lord. And we just pray that you would, as we open it this morning, you'd speak to us. Lord, I know that no one is here by accident this morning, Lord. We know that we're all here by divine appointment. And Lord, we know that these people don't need to listen to me, Lord. They need to listen to you. And so I just pray you'd use me as a vessel, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. And the way I'm doing this is almost as like a type of series. So in the time that Mark has me teach, I'm going through the gospel or the letter of 1 John. And I really believe it's going to, as we go through it, really impact our lives. It's such a powerful epistle, speaks a great deal about relationship. And as I said last time, John, as an elderly gentleman writing this letter, had realized a very key thing about life, that the most important things in life aren't things at all, but it's the people and the relationships that we have. The relationships with God, or our relationship with God, and our relationships with one another. And so, last week we looked at 1 John and just the amazing truth, verses 1 to 5, about the fact that the eternal Word of God, Jesus Christ, who had existed in all eternity, it says that which was from the beginning. And we heard that it's not the beginning of John's ministry. It's not the beginning of Jesus' ministry or when Jesus came to this earth, not the beginning of the creation of the earth, but long before that, before time began in all eternity, the eternal Word existed. And that this Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And it says, John said that we were witnesses of Him. We heard Him. We saw Him. We studied Him and we touched Him with our hands. And we also learned that the amazing thing is not only that these human beings had an opportunity to experience and be witnesses of the eternal Word of God, but that God wants in a relationship with every one of us, that we can enter into that place of relationship. And John says, I write these things so that your joy might be full. And before I get into today's text, I want us to remind us, and just as a key point of remembering, never underestimate the despair in the world. When you see your friends and people at work laughing and having fun and joying and all these types of things, never confuse that with joy. Never think that people who are smiling and are happy and carrying on aren't desperate and aren't lonely. And Robin Williams is a great example of the comedian who killed himself out of desperation. And so there's a lot of despair, there's a lot of loneliness. And never underestimate the power of the gospel to change people's lives. Never forget the power of the truth that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, that Jesus Christ died so that we might have life in Him. John continues here in verse 5, and he says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So he begins that this is the message that we heard from Him and we declare to you. The first thing I want to talk about, and he will declare that God is light, is the fact that John witnessed the eternal Word speaking to him. He said in the first verse, that which we have heard. And the important thing yet to understand is that the most important thing we can learn from God is what God has to say about himself. At the end of the day, that is the only opinion that matters. It doesn't matter what anybody says about God. It doesn't matter what religions claim about God. It doesn't matter which intelligent person, if it's Stephen Hawking or whoever it is, says about God. That doesn't really matter. Every person on earth is a created being, very finite, has existed in a very, very small space of time. And so somebody might come and say, well, I think God is a pencil, and I'm going to worship this pencil because this is God. Now, the person would be wrong, obviously, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they say about God. The only thing that matters is what God says about himself and what God has revealed about himself. And in 1 John, here in this book, John is saying that God has revealed that he is light. Now, this isn't the only revelation that John gives us about God. In John chapter 3, he says, God is true. In John chapter 4, he says that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In 1 John chapter 4, he says, God is love. So these are the characteristics of God. He is true, he is spirit, he is love. This is what God has revealed about himself. And yeah, John says that God is revealed and manifest to him, and he bears witness that God is light. It says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You see, the problem that we have in this world is that our way of thinking can be very influenced by the things that we hear around us, the people that we meet, what we hear on television, what we see on the internet, what various people propagate as truth. And so, in fact, John will speak about this later on in this epistle, about not loving the world and the ideas of the world. But one of the ideas that the world has about God is a type of dualistic idea about God, almost like two sides of a coin, that God is both good and bad, that God is both light and darkness, and that basically, you know, there's a good side to God, but there's also an evil side to God, and that both sides somehow balance each other out, like hot and cold, yin and yang, light and darkness. And this is the concept of God that they have, that somehow in all of this, and Buddhism, for example, is very big on this idea that everything's Buddha. Good is Buddha, bad is Buddha. It's all part of everything that is. But God is very clear that that is not who he is. He says, I am true, I am light, and in me, or in him, is no darkness at all. So in other words, what God is saying about himself is that there is no shadow of turning in him. There is no minuscule part, not even a fraction of darkness in God. God is completely light. You know, the reason why I mention this and the reason why I say it's kind of infiltrated into the Christian way of thinking is I meet a lot of Christians, or a lot of people who say they are Christians, that say that they are angry with God. And I hear that expression a lot of times. Someone's not going, and they've got this problem. And I say, what happened? Yeah, I think he's just angry with God. And generally, it's because someone that they love has passed away, or something has happened in their life. And so there's this pent-up frustration and, like I said, this anger with God. And, you know, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with us standing in judgment over the creator of heaven and earth. There's a problem with us thinking that we can have some type of condescending hold after God as if he's done something wrong. Let us not forget, it's not God who brought sin into this world. It is not God who brought death into this world. We are the ones that turned away from God. It's not God who's turned away from us. We are the ones that are evil, not God. And you know, maybe you're not in that situation, but maybe you're in a situation where your relationship with God has grown cold. Maybe things have happened in your life and there's a distance. You're not as close to God as what you want you to be. Well, let me tell you something very simple. It's not God who's moved. It's you. There was a story about a man and woman, old couple driving down the road, and he was sitting in the car, and his wife, elderly couple, they're driving down the road, and they see this other couple driving past, and this girl's got her arm rested in this guy's shoulders. He's driving, and she says, "Ach, dear, don't remember how we used to drive like that. You know, I used to have my head on your shoulder. You know what happened to those days?" And her husband was a man of few words, said, "Well, I haven't moved." But you know, that's how it is with God. He hasn't moved. The Bible says, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." God is always willing, always ready to receive you with open arms. He's got all the love in the world for you. If there's any distance between you and him, it's because of you. The darkness is in you, it's not in God. And so it says, again, if we read the verse again, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." You see what it says in verse 6? It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You see what it says? If we say we have fellowship with him. Now, anybody can say that they have fellowship with God. Anybody can say, "I'm a Christian." When I was living in Austria, I used to meet numerous people, and sometimes we used to talk about religion, and they'd say, so what religion are you?" So I'd say, "I'm a Christian." Now, that's quite unusual for a Catholic to hear someone say they're a Christian, because you don't say you're a Christian. You say, "Are you Catholic or you're Protestant or whatever?" So I said, "I'm a Christian." And they said, "Well, what type of Christian?" Like, "No, I'm just a Christian. I believe in Jesus." And invariably, they'd think about it and say, "Oh, I'm actually also a Christian." So I said, "Okay, great. So you believe in Jesus as the Son of God who came to die for our sins, that he was born of..." No, I don't believe any of that rubbish. You know, I'm a Christian, I'm Catholic." I'm like, "So what makes you think you're a Christian? What is it that says you say that you believe in God, you say that you have fellowship with him?" Now, that's obviously one maybe extreme example. But there are many people that we know, many people that I'm sure we've experienced, people that claim that they're Christians and are not. I grew up in a home with a man who was an elder in a church. He used to beat up his wife and his children and do all sorts of things, lived a life completely without God. But in the church environment, used to live a very type of sanctified life, you know, the type of life that they can see. So there was all this darkness behind, but in the realm where people could see him, there was a completely different life. And there are some who live like that. You are what you are in your private lives. You are what you are when nobody's watching you. That is who you are. That is the life you're living. And so what John says is very clear. You might say, "Well, John, that's a little bit harsh." He says, if you say that you have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, you are a liar. Why, John, why don't you just tell us really what you're feeling, you know? But the fact is, that is what he's saying. He says it's simple. God is light. If you have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, or you say you have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, you are a liar. Now, maybe you don't realize that you're a liar. Maybe your theology has taught you that it's perfectly acceptable to lead two separate lives. It's perfectly acceptable to claim to be a Christian and live a completely different life. Maybe that's what you've been taught. But that's not what the Bible teaches. You see, it says that if we have fellowship with God, because he is light, our lives will be lives filled with light. I also want us to understand, though, what it is not saying. It is not saying if you sin, you are a liar because God is light. It's not talking about the man who sins. You see the word that it uses. Paul says, if you walk in darkness. If you walk in darkness. In other words, he's talking about an habitual way of living. It's what you do on a daily basis. It's your complete separation from what is good and what is true. You see, we as Christians, although we sin, and we sin all the time, sin is a part of our lives as Christians. We're growing in Christ. We live. We are being changed from day to day. But at the end of the day, as long as we're in this body, we will sin. But at the same time, we have the conviction of the Spirit of God living within us. Sin gives us no joy. We have no pleasure in it. There's no rest in it. It's not simply a case of, I can continue living this way and everything's fine. There's this despair and this hopelessness as we sin, as we desire to be more like our Savior. That is what fellowship with the light is all about. But also, I just want to focus on something else that it says, though. It says, we lie and do not practice the truth, but if we walk in the light as he in the light, we will have fellowship with. Do you know what it says? You see what it says? You would actually think that it says you will have fellowship with God, right? I mean, it says if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you will have fellowship with him, right? That's what you would think logically that John would say. If he walks in the light, you walk in the light. If you walk in the light as he's in the light, you will have fellowship with him. But he doesn't say that. What does it say here? It says, we have fellowship with one another. You see, there's another very, very important principle about what John is saying here. Because there are many Christians that don't come to church. There are many Christians that don't have fellowship with other Christians. And the reason that they don't have fellowship with other Christians is because they've been hurt by other Christians. Other Christians have wronged them. Other Christians have cheated them. Other Christians have spoken badly about them. If I were to ask for a show of hands here, who has never been hurt by a Christian, I doubt there would be one hand going up. And that isn't because this is an exceptionally bad church. But it's because of the fact that if you walk and if you're in the church for long enough, you're going to have Christians who hurt you. People are going to do something to offend you, and there is going to be conflict within the church of God. That's why Paul says we need to be long-suffering with one another. But the fact is that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship with one another. You will have fellowship with one another. You cannot say, you know what, I love Jesus Christ. I get on fantastic with Jesus, but you know what, I can't stand his people. I just cannot seem to get on with any Christians. I get on well with Jesus, I just cannot get on with Christians. The Bible says, and John will say, you know what, there's something wrong with that. Because blood is thicker than water, and the blood of Jesus Christ is most certainly thicker than any water on this earth. The fact is, what unites us? The blood of Jesus Christ, his forgiveness, the eternal life that we have with one another binds us much more than any relationship that we have with any of our siblings or family or friends out there. And the fact is, this is the place where we come for encouragement. This is the place we come to be built up. You see what it says? It says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You see, the church of God is not a place to run away from. It's a place to run to. This is the place where the gifts operate. This is the place that if there's a problem in your life, if there's something that you're struggling with, and this is what often happens with people. Often people don't come to church, maybe not because what others have done to them, but because they are struggling with sin in their own life. Because they feel distant from God and think, I'll feel uncomfortable in the church. You know, if I go there now, I can't go with the sins that I have. I can't go with the problems that I have. People are going to judge me. People are going to start asking me questions. How am I going to answer those questions? I'm still struggling with certain things in my life. I can't be honest about these things in my life. And John would say, no, If you walk in the light as he is in the life, you'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. This is the place to come to. That is why Mark has worked so hard, and his vision is to reach the unchurched. It's not because he doesn't have a love for Christians. It's not because he doesn't have a love for those people whose lives have, those who have got their lives together, but because of the fact that Jesus Christ loves sinners and that Jesus Christ died for sinners. And it says, in fact, in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not us, not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So John takes this, talks about the fellowship and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all unrighteousness, to catapult into verse 8, to talk about those who not say that they walk in the light that don't, but those who say that they have no sin. Now, again, if I were to ask in this room, how many of you would say you have no sin? How many of you would say you'd sinless? None of you would lift up your hands, unless you're delusional. The fact is, we all sin, and I think we all agree that we are sinners. But you know, it's not as simple as that, because very often we have trouble saying the S word, don't we? Talk about, oh, what happened? I have made some mistakes in my life. You know, there are things in my life that I regret. I did make some bad decisions. You know, and to really face up and say, no, you didn't make bad decisions. You didn't make a mistake. You know, making a mistake is writing down a number wrong. What you did is sin. And that's the first thing that we need to look at. We need to understand that it's really about understanding that the things that we do are sin, and we sin against God, and it's to confess the sin. When Jesus was talking about it in Luke chapter 18, the Pharisees came to him, and now the Pharisees had a very self-righteous attitude. They lived according to certain laws that they believe made them right with God, and they tried to focus on the law and live these lives. And they were very judgmental towards other people who didn't live certain ways. And so what happened is, when they came to Jesus and they were speaking to Jesus about this, Jesus gave them an example. He says, to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The fact is that Jesus did not come to die for mistake makers. He didn't come to die for the less than perfect crowd. He came to die for sinners. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know, confession of sin is vitally important. The word confess actually comes from the Greek word, which means to see the same way. To see your sin the way God sees your sin. When Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, after they had sinned in the church, and he rebuked them about the sin, and he heard about the fact that the church had dealt with it, he returns in the second letter to the Corinthians. He says, see what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. That is what true repentance is all about. It's when the light of God touches your heart and you realize, Lord, I have sinned against you. And there is this indignation, this alarm, this longing, this concern, the readiness to see things correct, to see justice done, to see our lives restored with God. This is vitally important for us as Christians to have this. And it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is called in some circles the Christian's bar of soap. As we confess our sins, Jesus Christ is faithful to forgive us our sins. But I also want to make things very clear. We are not forgiven because we confess. It's not a case of, I have to confess all my sins in order to be forgiven of it. So in other words, it's a continual work of our sin. I need to forgive this. Guys, if we had to forgive, or if we had to confess every sin that we committed, we better all quit our full-time jobs and just confess our sin the whole day. And we still wouldn't get all of them. The fact is, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for all of our sins. He came to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the reason why we confess a sin is not because of the sin, but because of the attitude of the heart. It's because of our relationship with God. It is because of what sin does in our relationship with God. It breaks the fellowship that we have. When we sin, although we walk with God, and although we feel forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, sin separates us from God in the fact that our fellowship is broken. We don't have the closest, and we don't have the place where we feel free to talk to God. And so God says, just confess your sin. Come to me, see it the way I see it. Lay it down before me, repent and say, Lord, I am a sinner, have mercy on me. And he says, if you confess, I will be faithful. I will be faithful to forgive you from the sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what it's all about. It's about maintaining this relationship. It's about this continual cleansing. You see, when Jesus was with the disciples at the Last Supper, Peter was there, and Jesus, it says, took a towel, wrapped himself, and started washing the disciples' feet. And Peter, being the impetuous person that he was, said, Lord, no. You should not wash my feet. I will wash your feet. What did Jesus say? If I do not wash your feet, Peter, you have no part of me. So what does Peter do? He goes to the other extreme. The obsessive, compulsive person that he is. He says, all right, Lord, well, if you're going to wash, then wash my whole body. And he says, no, if you've bathed, you're already clean. He says, it's only your feet that need washing. You see, because of the word that Jesus Christ has spoken in them, they were clean. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are clean. But isn't this just the truth? That although we are clean, we walk in a dirty world. We hear things. We see things. We are confronted by things. We're confronted by our own flesh. We're confronted by our pride. We struggle with things. And so we are clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. But as we walk through these things start sticking to us and start affecting this relationship. And so what do we need? We need to have our feet washed by Jesus Christ. We need to come once again and confess our sin to him in order so that he might forgive us from all unrighteousness. And it says in verse 10, and if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You see, what this passage is saying is there's two places you don't want to be. When you talk about relationship with the eternal word of God, there are two places you do not want to be. Number one, you do not want to be walking in darkness. You don't want to be one of those who say that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but they walk in darkness. You don't want to be there because you're a liar and the truth is not in you. But at the same time, you don't want a self-righteousness. You don't want your relationship with God to be based upon, well, I'm having a pretty good time with God. You know, lately I haven't done this and I haven't done this and all these things are fine, so I feel my relationship with God is good. You don't want a relationship with God where you feel that through something you have done, you are now sinners. You don't want to be in a situation where you think, oh, I have not sinned. I am not a sinner. You want to continue in a place with God where every day as you're driving down the street, you're constantly checking your heart. You're constantly in communication with God. You know, and when you're in communication with God, as his light touches your heart, the light is going to reveal things. You know, it might not be the sins you normally deal with. Maybe you're not struggling with the sins that you generally struggle with. Maybe things are going well. But you know what? As God's light penetrates our heart, we realize, you know what? There might be sins that have been in my heart for a long time that I haven't even realized that they are there. Maybe there's been unforgiveness in my heart that I actually didn't even realize I had. And so as the light penetrates, we're saying, Lord, that person, you know, I realize I haven't forgiven that person. And it's wrong because you've forgiven me, you've asked me to forgive. And so you confess, and so you confess, and so you confess. And it's just continual cleansing in our lives. Do you need your feet washed? Do you need to come before God today and say, Lord, my fellowship with you is just not what it used to be because of things in my life. And you know, I'm kind of trying to make it right with you. I'm trying to do things to make it up with you. Guys, forget it. You can't do things to make it up to God. Just come boldly before the throne of grace where you can receive forgiveness. You know, this church has gifts. You know, there's this whole idea of showmax. You know, there's a show for that. Have you got a problem? You know, there's a show for this. Well, you know what? If you've got a problem in your life, there's a gift for that. There's people in the church who God has equipped to help you deal with things in your life. That's what walking in the light is all about. It's having fellowship. It's coming together. And that is what John is encouraging us this morning in his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed for us on the cross. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just pray for those sitting in this room today who just feel a burden of sin upon their lives. Those who maybe used to walk close to you, but there's just this distance that has grown between them and you. And Lord, we just pray that you would draw them close today through your Spirit. We just pray that you would convict, that you would draw us close to you, and Lord, that you would help us to see that in you is salvation. And in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.